Welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 52 is coming right at you now. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Howdy, everybody. My name is The Brant, bringing a solo podcast to you this week. The Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. This is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, or you can find us on Twitter at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. This episode is entitled Attack of the Clones, because this is my cheesy ripoff. I'm going to be copying what a lot of other people have been doing lately, which is going through the top 100 games on Board Game Geek. And who knows, maybe there'll be a cheesy love story in here with some of these games that I have that I'll go through. So that's what you can look forward to this week. Hey, it's great to talk to everybody. I'm going to be a little late on this podcast. My bad. Lots of things finishing up, school, etc., and just busy times, so it's coming out a little bit late, but that's okay. I think we'll still have a good time. Just want to let you know a couple other things I have been doing. So I've been on a couple podcasts lately you can check out. The first one is Every Night is Game Night, that you can find me on. That is Anthony and Jason's podcast, and they did one about solo games. They asked me to be a contributor for that, so you can check me out. It's actually a two-part episode that they did with Luke Hector from The Broken Meeple, and I am on there giving you my number one solo game. So you can check that out. It's a really fun episode. It was pretty long, but whatever. It was a good listen. I don't mind long podcasts, so definitely want to look for that one. The other podcast I was on was Low Player Count. They have their If You Buy One Game that comes out monthly. So this month was If You Buy One Game because of beautiful artwork, buy this game. So you can find me on there, along with a bunch of other contributors from around the podcast verse. And yeah, give those a listen. So definitely love both those podcasts. So I was glad to be on them and to be asked to be part of them. And so you can check those out for more information. Let you know there. All right, I've also filmed two videos and haven't started a video channel yet, but I'm going to start the video channel. I think I'm going to make a video channel just under me, The Brant, separate from The Portal, and then when we figure out specific things we want for The Portal, I'll probably do that. So I kind of wear the two hats here, but I have made the Ethnos run through. I think I said that like a month ago and I never put it up, and I made a full review of Three Kingdoms Redux, which I reviewed on the last episode, so I have that video as well. So I think I'll put those up. So yeah, look for our video channel coming soon. I definitely think that is going to be a big addition to what we're doing. I also have a huge announcement I can't make yet. So that's coming soon, but I will let you know as soon as possible. All right, couple upcoming events I want to let you know about. I kind of dug through. I wanted to look for some different things here. So Warhammer 40K 8th Edition is coming out in June 17th. There is a play all day event. I don't know all the specific details. So if you are into Warhammer, I've seen so many board game people getting into Warhammer lately on Twitter. They're excited for this new edition. So if you're a board gamer or an ex-Warhammer player like I am, maybe this is the one to jump back in. I saw the models at the store the other day, and they are stunning. Oh my goodness, I can totally get why people are into this hobby. My wife just stopped by the case where some of them were painted up, and she's like, this is amazing. So definitely a neat thing. So check that out, June 17th. You can call the store. You can contact them through Facebook for more information on that. Also, June 18th is Father's Day, and the store is doing a bunch of things. So there's model building and a whole bunch of other activities. You go out with your kids or go out with your dad, depending on your age and how that works. And there's a bunch of activities for that over at the Time Machine across the street. So if you're local and in the area, it's definitely something you want to check out. So yeah, both those events coming up next weekend should be good. Yeah, awesome. I guess let's move on to what I've been playing lately. I'm going to keep it somewhat short here and just kind of highlight some things. I'll just get the inevitable talking about Gloomhaven out of the way. So my wife and I this week played Gloomhaven, and we managed to both retire our characters this week. So I believe we've played 20 or 21. My wife tracks that a little better than I do. But we've tracked 21, or we've played 21 times, and we finally retired. She retired on the 20th. I believe I retired on the 21st. So we said bye to our characters. We were glad to say bye to them, actually. Not that we don't want to keep playing them, but it was neat to kind of switch things up. It's going to be interesting. The two new characters we opened are... It's going to be interesting how they work together. I definitely don't want to spoil, so that's not my goal. But, they definitely play different. And I'm intrigued to see if we'll have the firepower we had before. We definitely had two offensive characters. I don't mind spoiling that. Those are openers. So the Spellweaver is like a glass cannon. Only has a couple cards. They're really powerful. And then my Vermling Mind Thief was a good up-close melee fighter, etc. Crowd control kind of thing. And so we were kind of used to just doing damage. These new characters don't do that. I'm also intrigued. One of them seems a lot stronger in a party of four than in a party of two. So I wonder if we're going to find it worth playing two characters each just so that that character is stronger. But we'll have to see. We'll play a couple and see how it goes and go from there. Obviously, I won't spoil anything for you on here, but just kind of giving that idea and seeing where it goes. But glad that it changes up. Glad that the system will be new and we'll have to think differently. That's definitely part of the intrigue of the game. And the other characters aren't gone. We can go back to them if we want to. There's nothing, Isaac Childress, the designer of the game, is not going to come to our house, pound down the door, and be like, "We're ripping those characters up and throwing them in the garbage." We could go back to them if we wanted to, technically. We won't. We're good. We'll move on. That's part of the game. That's how Legacy system works, at least the Legacy part of this game. So there's that. All right, Gloomhaven out of the way. So we're excited for that. I got a chance to play Oddville from What's Your Game. I believe this might have been one of the first games that What's Your Game produced. So Oddville is definitely a Euro. It's kind of a Euro little card game, resource management game. And you're kind of building a town together, which is Oddville. So on your turn, you have four different cards in your hand. And you can play any one of those cards. And there's basically like a weak card, a kind of weak card, a strong card, and a really strong card. And so, you can play the card and then it's on the table. You don't get it back till you pick up all your cards. So the weak card would be something like, you don't get any money. You can get just the wood resource, which is the simplest, or you can buy a card from the row of cards. So think Through the Ages style, that kind of classic display that moves down. So the first card, all the way away from the deck is free, and then it costs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gold down the line. Then the next card up would allow you to get to the next resource. A couple more cards would be free. Cards would be one cheaper. And it would give you a gold coin. Gold coins are just like Port Royal. It's just a face-down card from the draw deck. And that gives you coins, nice and simple. So the goal in this game here would be to eventually collect these resources and then play cards to the city. So there's that row of cards you can buy, which are buildings. And you basically need resources to put those in the city. And those are unique. You put your workers on the resources, and they can cost or they can be cheaper. But I'm not going to go a lot into that. Here, it's a pretty straightforward game. It's not too long. But the goal is to get cards in the city, and then they score points. And they basically, you have to add them with connecting roads or non-connecting roads. Non-connecting roads? Just no roads. And they'll score various points. Sometimes it's just, boom, this card scores 5 points if you play it. Other times it's like, this one scores one for every one in the row or the column or for one for every symbol on the board of this type. So you're trying to get those cards out on the board and score various points by spending your resources. So that's the idea. When you play through all your cards, you get them all back, or you can spend coins to get the cards back. Also, the other piece that happens is when you play a card, it typically has a guild symbol on it, and you get a card, which is like a character that goes in front of you. It gives you a special power and points at the end of the game. Eventually, those cards are going to run out, and then you'll start stealing from the other player. So that can be a pretty big swing in points. Some are worth 5 points, and you're stealing 5 points from somebody, so that's a 10-point swing amongst you. So that's a pretty big deal. It was fun. It kind of moves slow. It's kind of one of those games where it's like you just get a little bit of an action. Okay, this turn I'm going to gain that resource. Okay, next turn I'm going to get money. Next turn I'm going to buy a card. Next turn I'm going to play the card. So it's kind of slow in that sense. The game ends when somebody has built 6 things in the city. And then the game ends immediately and you score points there. Actually, does everybody get one more turn? Everybody but that person? Anyway, no, I don't think so. I think it just ends right there. So it was pretty fun. I had heard some people saying like, oh, this is a really intriguing, like, What's Your Game? And I really like What's Your Game. And I like Signoria, and Madeira is amazing. And there are others that I'm just not, Zhang Guo and I haven't played Railroad Revolution. I keep begging Brian. He has it, but I haven't played it yet. There's that piece. But it was fun. I would definitely play it again. I could see it being in that under-hour time frame. It could be pretty fun once people know it and you just kind of click through it. I think with me knowing it a little bit better, it's a good one to pull out on like a Thursday night at the game store or, you know, waiting for people to come and can play up to four, which is pretty normal. That was that game. It was pretty good, kind of a middle rating, slightly above. I would definitely bring it out again because it had a good bite to it, but it wasn't amazing. I got a chance to play Crokinole. So Crokinole is basically a dexterity game. I had played a ton of, no, I can't remember the name, caroms when I was a kid. We had a carom board at a cottage, and so this is that kind of same style. So you got a circular board of wood, and then you have wooden disc, and you're trying to flick your wooden disc from your edge into the center. There's a hole, and if you get in the hole, you get 20 points. If you don't, then the trick is the player after you has to hit your piece, or at least a piece. We played in teams, so at least a piece from your team. If they don't, then their piece comes right off the board. They can't score any points. And then there's kind of rings, so the center of the board is going to be 15. If you don't get in the exact center, sorry, the center ring's 15, 10, and 5. So it's just kind of between the teams, you're trying to keep their discs off the board and put yours on. I know a lot of people have come through the store, have been playing this lately, and whatnot, so you've seen that. But it was really fun. I'm really excited. I'm going to get a board and bring it down with me. My family is renting a cottage. We don't have our cottage anymore. We're going to rent one this summer, and I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to guarantee this thing is going to get played left and right. It seems great for kids because the idea of what you're doing is very straightforward, and it's not really about flicking the disc as hard as you can. In fact, that's not really a system, so it seems to kind of level the playing field in that. So yeah, Crokinole, really fun. Those are the games I've been playing lately. I stopped by the store on Friday and I saw a bunch of new games that came in, so I'll just highlight those. Yamatai, I'm really excited to try that. So that should be a fun game coming out. And what else I see had come in? Flatline from Kane Klenko and Renegade Game Studios. Looks really exciting. So if you want to try that, we got a demo copy at the store. So I want to try that this week, hopefully, and get a play in of that. Some new Star Wars Destiny stuff, not new Star Wars, just Destiny stuff is back in. And what else was in the stack? There were some other interesting things. I don't remember off the top of my head. I am sorry. So yeah, check those things out. So that's what I've been playing lately, and I'm just gonna roll right along here into the discussion topic. So I'm just gonna do what I said. I'm gonna steal this. I heard Rotto did this. I think he did top 50 games on his podcast on Board Game Geek. I just watching John Gick's game. Somebody had written in and asked him to do the top 20. Hey, I'm going to go for the gusto and try all top 100. So I really am an Omni gamer. I really like most games, which is where it's always been funny for me, like in terms of reviewing games, because I always tend to like a game or see a place I could play it. And I play in so many different locations. I play heavy games. I play at the store on Thursday night with gamers. I play kids games with my family. I play light games and gateway games at school with the group that I run, and various things like that. I'm just constantly having people over. I play large group games. I run things at the church. Like, I'm just constantly using games all the time. So I always find a place to use various things. So I know that can be a little funny in terms of difference, but it'll be interesting going through this top 100 to see. I feel like I've played a lot of them, although there's been a lot of change lately. But at one point, I know it wasn't till like number 47 till I got to a game I hadn't played of the top 100. It wasn't till like the 47th game, and then at like 96 was Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, and I finally got to play that. So I think there wasn't much of the top 100 I hadn't played. So we'll see. We're gonna go through here and figure it out. So I am on Board Game Geek here. Okay. So the number 100 game as of today, which is June 10th, 2017, is Zombicide: Black Plague. I haven't played it, so there you go. So you can see the lists are changing. So Zombicide: Black Plague is a game that I really want to play. In fact, my friend Steve, who is a listener of the podcast, is coming down this week. He's going to bring it, and I'm really going to try to get this to the table because this is a through-and-through Ameritrash game with crazy models and everything, but I think it's one that I'll like. So I'm really excited to try this. I know I tried Zombicide itself on its own way back, like 3 or 4 years ago, when I was doing demos and opening games for the game library, and I didn't really understand where the game was going. I heard this one had better updates. And I like that theme of medieval, which is funny because a lot of Euro games, I'm laughing. Why do we have medieval? Why can't we get rid of medieval? Yeah, but there's that. Zombicide Black Plague, I haven't played it. There's that. Jaipur. I did play Jaipur, two-player card game. Pretty interesting. In the land of two-player games, for me, it was a little gateway-ish, which is fine. That could be a key. This would be a great board game cafe game. This would be a great travel game. Because the time frame is pretty short. It definitely has interesting decisions. It definitely has, some management of cards and resources and whatnot. So that's interesting. But in two-player land, there's a lot of games that I like better and that my wife and I would play specifically. I'm not two-player only, just with my wife. Yeah, she's not my only person I play two-player games with, so I could see that. I know a lot of people really like Jaipur. I know there's an app. I am not much of an app gamer. But yeah, good game. Solid game. I don't know that'll be in my top 100. There's a lot of two-player games I like better. I'm imagining LCGs and stuff like that don't make these lists just out of the nature of them. 13 Days I'm looking at right now is really good. Really like that. Ashes. I guess that's kind of an LCG style. Yeah, and whatnot. I think there's other games that are higher up on the list, so I'll just leave them there. And keep going. We got a lot of games to go through. Hansa Teutonica. Love this game. Really good. It's one of the meanest Euros ever. You're constantly blocking people, knocking people out. The whole point is to take people away from the engine they're trying to build. So I would imagine this would be a struggle for a Rado-type person. But it's really fun. It's really simple engine building because you're trying to get more resources and actions. The theme is like as dry as can be. You're like a money consultant in Germany trying to establish tax offices. They couldn't have made it drier in terms of all that. But I've actually been bringing this in my bag every week to play because it plays five. And once people get it, it picks up. So it's kind of slow at first. And there's a couple of those like random little rules that are hard to remember, like how many points you score for things. But that's a really neat game. So if you're a Euro player, I definitely suggest trying Hansa Teutonica. It probably will run long the first time, but it really isn't a very long game. Like it should be in that 60 to 90 minute range. Two players, awful. Don't even bother. Literally don't even bother. There may be a board game geek. Change it up. Try that one. Princes of Florence, I played a long time ago. Like I want to say like 6 or 7 years ago. I don't remember it. I know it's an auction game, and people really like that. I feel like there's so many auction games that come along better. We played Raw recently, and I really liked that one. So I don't remember a lot about Princes of Florence. This is one that I think it's just sliding. Like, I feel like when I was first looking at BGG years ago, it was way up on top of the list, and it's just slid since then. It came out in 2000. So I could see this one just sliding down. I think there's things that just do what this game does better, so I don't have high interest and playing it again. But if somebody said, this is the best auction game, you must play this, oh my goodness, let's do it right now. I've got the game with me, I'm in. Sounds good. Splendor. Really cool gateway game. Love playing this with teens. Love playing this while we're waiting for people. Not my favorite of the engine builds and whatnot. I know it's shorter. I feel like I've had this conversation, but I'll state it this way. So I love engine building it, but I'd rather play Terraforming Mars. So to me, I'm not trying to avoid playing long games. It's usually just because of time I can't play. I'd rather play a long game than a short game. It's usually more interesting to me. Now, not a ridiculously too long game. I'm not in the boat of like, oh, this is going to be way too long. It's dragging on. The box says 2 hours and the game's now gotten to 4 hours and that was better. No. I'm just saying I don't have a problem with saying, well, I like Splendor, that's engine building, but I'd rather play Terraforming Mars. It's longer. But I understand, I totally get the benefit of a shorter game. So, yeah, Splendor's a neat game and it's interesting how people love it or hate it. I think it's neat. Aegis Thieves. Okay, played this on International Tabletop Day. Gonna play this at Dice Tower Con and teach some people. So I'm excited for that. I really like this game. This is a really cutthroat auction. Yeah, it's brutal. I had tried to learn this years ago, and I just didn't understand what was going on. I'd heard it was a great game, but it was a little confusing. But it's not that bad. Once you get to teach, I'll even throw it out there, Heavy Cardboard. They did a video, a live playthrough, and that really was easy to follow what they were doing. I mean, I guess it took them like 45 minutes to get it all on the table, but I was fast-forwarding through and saw what to do, and it's really easy in terms of what you're doing. Yeah, so I think this is the best of those rail games that I've played. It's really fun, and I'm looking forward to playing it again. La Granja. So I'm not a huge, like, oh, I'm dying to get this back to the table. But as we're doing this, I'm going to write down games that I really am dying to get back to the table. And La Granja is one. That's a great game. Just a mesh of mechanics. It's a game that I'm always like, do I want to play this? And then I start playing. I'm like, yes, I want to play this game. So that's a really fun game. That first of the list of like, oh, I need to play this again. Typically, I'm like, yeah, I don't necessarily need to play anything again. Yeah, that's one that jumps out to me. Lord of the Rings, the card game. There it is, LCG. One of my favorites, top 10 game. Super good. Lifestyle game, I suppose. I like playing it solo, two-player. I like playing it three- and four-player. Here's a deck, let's go. My only sad thing with Lord of the Rings is that I never picked up with my wife. She just never really enjoyed the game, and so I just haven't been able to play it nearly as much as I would like to. Brian and I have played it several times together. I'd love to play more. Yeah, that's where that's at. I've stalled in my purchasing of this right now because I haven't been playing it, but it's one of my favorite games ever. Goa. All right, I've played Goa a few times. It's not a get back to the table for me. I think this is another one like Princess of Florence that was way up on the list, and it's sliding its way down with all these new games coming out. It's another kind of auction-style game. It's pretty unique. The theme is super dry. Like, it's funny now to think of some of these Euros that are out now and just how much more theme they have than games like this that barely even tried. But it's unique enough that I would suggest if you haven't played Goa, and again, you like those 60 to 90-minute Euros, give this one a try. Again, it's way better game if you play with somebody who's played before and they can just throw all the rules out there at you, because there's a couple of those random little things. Because of the abstractness of the theme, it's hard to see what's happening. So there you go. There's Goa, 2004. Viticulture. All right, Viticulture is a great game. Jamie Stegmaier, this is Stonemaier Games. It's super good. Yeah, and get the expansion, Tuscany. It's one of those few games where the expansion just makes the game so much better, and everybody says that. So worker placement game. You're making wine. It's super fun. Can have a runway leader sometimes because of the cards, but whatever. It's fun. It's light. Can play six people. Steam. Okay, so Steam is the one of like the bunch that I haven't played. I've played Age of Steam. I've played Railways of the World. I've played Brass, which isn't technically a train game, but runs in that category. And I've played now an 18XX. So I don't know if I have a desire to play Steam. I think there's also like Age of Industry. I haven't played that one. I feel like I'm good. I'm happy with Age of Steam. I like that one. I played Rose of the World. I could see that with a bunch of people. A little bit lighter, being fun. And then Brass is my favorite of the crew, which I probably just, some people were like, Age of Steam is so much better than Brass. I just haven't played it enough, but Brass is my favorite of that bunch. So, yeah. But if somebody's got Steam, wants to play it, let me know. I'll check it out. Istanbul. Okay, I've been trying to play this because of Yokohama, and I've never played Istanbul. Wow, there's a lot right here off the bat. I'm going to guess as we move down the list, there's going to be a lot more that I've played. Because at one point, I know I had played like all the top 100s except a handful. But here we go. Yeah, so I know this is that like you place people out on the board, then you follow a route and you make a path, and it needs variability and whatnot. And people really swear by this game. And it's really fun two-player. And I was going to borrow the copy from the store to play with my wife. And I think it's Brian's copy and he took it home. So shame on you, Brian, for having your games at home and not letting me play them. He won't even listen to this episode. Although, Brian, if you did, you should make fun of me back. Okay, Cosmic Encounter. I got a chance to play Cosmic Encounter a couple times. It just needs the right group, and I don't know if I have that group. Although, I need to try to cultivate this group. So, I am going to acquire Cosmic Encounter. Am I putting this on my... Yeah, I'll put this on my list. And I want to play this game. I haven't played enough. People love this game. I think it's definitely up my alley of like negotiation and working and having the right cards. I think it works well. Kind of like Battlestar Galactica is one of my games that I really like in this front. Although I've been playing Resistance a bunch lately, and I really like Resistance. I forget that I like all that kind of stuff, and I don't give it its time of day. See, Omni Gamer. Here we go. Moving on. So yeah, Cosmic Encounter, you know, obviously famous for being Vassals number one. It's a really good game. I just think it takes the right people knowing, like, this is going to be an up-and-down game, and it's about you talking through and crazy powers that can be overpowered if you don't counteract them. So you just got to be ready for that. But I think that's awesome. That's what I love in Ameritrash-style games. Like, that should just be the fun of the game. Clank. Yeah, it's amazing. Clank is just the deck builder. It's a go-to. To me, it's a gateway game at this point. Yeah, it helps when I'm playing and teaching people, I think, because I can walk them through some of the harder points in terms of a gateway game, but that's, I don't even need Dominion anymore, I don't think. I'll just play this. I mean, I'm happy. I'll play Dominion if somebody wants to, but I'd rather just play Clank and have the board. I mean, that is the simple innovation of the game, is there's a board and things are actually happening. So Clank is super good. Did I put it? Yeah, it was in my top 10 games from last year. So check it out. Expansion, promos. Now they're going to have a store kit that we'll get. Play that, get promos. It's a great game. This game, they got to figure out what they're going to do when they expand. It was smart last time. They added a couple cards and a board, and that a double-sided board. They need to keep adding those double-sided boards and not a lot of cards so that deck doesn't get out of control. Or coming up with another system. I don't know what they'll do. But they got to be smart about that so it doesn't become Ascension with a pile of 7,000 cards. But great game, Clank. I got to go faster. Okay, Combat Commander Europe. I think this was the number 47 that I never played, and I still haven't played it. So we'll move on. Chaos in the Old World. Really good. I got to play Blood Rage again. Brian notoriously does not like Blood Rage. I really like Blood Rage. Although I played a game like a year ago where I got like 27 points. It was awful. So I want to try Blood Rage again, but I think Blood Rage would replace Chaos in the Old World. They're both Eric Lang, so boo-hoo. But Chaos in the World is neat, and it is asymmetrical powers from the beginning, which is cool, whereas Blood Rage, you build them in as you go. But yeah, I think Chaos in the Old World must be out of print now, because of the breakup. Breaking up is hard to do. Okay, move on. Ticket to Ride Europe. I actually haven't played Ticket to Ride Europe, but Ticket to Ride Anything is totally amazing. This is one of the first, like, I don't know, I guess it's a gateway game, but for my daughter, it's like one of the first games she was playing at like 5 years old with me. And she plays with my wife on the phone, and I played the stinking UK one. It's so good. I love that one so much. Definitely more of a gamer's game. Yeah, I'll basically play Ticket to Ride anytime. I love Ticket to Ride. I don't know if I ever say that enough. I probably do. I don't know, but that's a great game to me. I don't understand why people don't like that game, if they say. That's a weird one. I understand Settlers of Catan way more than I understand. Not people not liking it than Ticket to Ride. Yeah, that's Ticket to Ride. Alan Moon, Days of Wonder, phenomenal. Paths of Glory, haven't played it. Both of those, Combat Commander Europe and Paths of Glory, I definitely would want to play them, but they're, you know, older war game style games. And I've been playing since before these games came out, 99 and 2006. I just never got a chance to play them. So, yeah, if I need to play them, let me know, and I'll check it out. Forbidden Stars is really good. Gary keeps bugging me to play this. Yes, we're going to play, Gary. I really like Forbidden Stars at 82. And I have StarCraft as well, which, yeah, it was just muddled down by too many things and too much. It was neat that the units had all the different abilities in StarCraft, but Forbidden Stars just did a better job of streamlining it. Forbidden Stars plays really well with two, and this is when my wife doesn't like space games, but I keep trying to get her to play this one with me, so we'll see if that happens. 81, Railways of the World. Yeah, this is really neat, but again, I'll just play Age of Steam any day. I'll even teach people Age of Steam. Anybody that's played any games, I'll teach them Age of Steam. I guess they could die horribly in Age of Steam because it's definitely punishing, but whatever. Life goes on. But yeah, I like Brass the best of that bunch. I'll say it again. Commands and Colors Ancients. Okay, I haven't played Commands and Colors Ancients. I think that one was on the list before. At number 80 now. But I have played Battle Lore, I've played Battle Cry, I've played Memoir 44, all the same system. It's really fun. I would gladly dig these out again. Again, they're two-player, require that right person across the table. Not necessarily my wife's favorite, although I should try it, but really right now we just play too much Gloomhaven, so that might not come back out. And tricky to play a two-player game of this length, like at the store. I don't do that so much, so I need a different time to do that. There you go. Haven't played that one. Star Realms is 79. Oh, yeah. Star Realms is super good. Really fun. This is actually one that I did play on the app for a while, even though I'm not a big app gamer. Fun that way. But I've used this with a ton of people. Deck Builder, small box, big hit when it came out. Now I think they made Hero Realms, which I got to try at some point. But the Kickstarter was too rich for my blood, so I didn't get a chance to do that. But yeah, Star Realms is really good. Again, in that two-player vein, I guess it's good for a deck builder. Because Clank, I necessarily am not dying to play it too. Yeah, I'll call it my go-to two-player deck builder. And then I'm probably totally wrong. There's probably something else, but whatever. Okay, Suburbia. There you go. That's another one that I really want to get played again. I really liked Suburbia. Played that a few times. And that's a really good game from Ted Alsbach and Bezier Games. Want to get it back to the table. Get another engine build, trying to figure out how to get population and money for your city at the same time, and really exciting. And followed up right after that, Nations at number 77. All right, it's this battle out there between Nations and Through the Ages, and I got to play Nations again, but this one's tricky. Five people, you know, 5 hours. Got to figure out how to get to the table. I always think, oh, I got to play this with my wife, but yeah, Gloomhaven. Aura at Labora. I think I've only played that solo. Did I play that a long time ago? Probably not. I think I've only soloed Aura at Labora. I know there's people who swear it's their favorite Uwe. There's just Uwes I like better. I've been playing Glass Road a little bit lately, and that one's really good. I think Aura's just sliding down the list as well, but I know I've played it. I can't remember player count. Yeah, we move on. Gallerist, number 75. Yeah, that's a cool game. I really want to play... Do I really want to play this one again? I want to play this one again. I'm excited for Lisboa to come out. Vital Lacerda, I know that's the same. But yeah, I'll play Gallerist anytime. See, here's the Omni Gamer. I don't have a lot of games. I'm like, yeah, I've got to get back to the table. It's amazing. I don't have a ton of those. And I don't have a ton of like, oh, this game is terrible. Don't, you know, subject me to this. I guess what's neat, I'll try to pick out these games where I sound so middling, because middling is good with me. If I say like, yeah, it's pretty good. That's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's play it. Because I love games. So I'm happy to play this game again is the idea. So I will say what's cool about Gallerist is that you have one worker and it's a single worker placement, and then you displace people, and that's a really neat mechanism. So these games that I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll try to give that one thing that's neat. Okay, Legendary Encounters, 74, Alien Deck Builder game. Yeah, that's really fun. It's really neat. It's so story-driven. I don't know if it replaces regular Legendary. It's so hard. It's like, I want to play that one sometimes. I want to play that one. I wanted Firefly to be better, but Firefly just doesn't work out all the time. But they're all really fun. When you're looking to play a deck builder and you want a little more story-driven, those are good games to go to. What's unique and exciting about it? I think just that theme is fun. And, oh, I know. It's that mechanic where the cards come face down and you have to pay to flip them over. That was really innovative, and that made it really interesting. Like exploring a board in Clank. But I'd rather play Clank than these Legendary games now. Yeah, it's passed. Oh, no. 73 is Alchemist. So I love deduction. I love logic puzzles. I love logic. I love doing math logic. This game just didn't work for me. I just couldn't figure out how the deduction worked, and then it fell apart. And I just, boy, I don't really dislike a lot of games. But this is one, I don't know if I dislike it. I just feel like I'd rather do a logic puzzle than play a game about doing a logic puzzle. So yeah, I don't think Alchemist is going to come back out for me. But again, if somebody wants to, I don't know, yeah. So that might be my one strike on this list for games. Let's see where we go from here. Stone Age is so good, number 72. Stone Age is great. Again, okay, I'm going to write this down because I want to play this with Zephra. All right, Stone Age with a Z for Zephra, because I really want to introduce her to that. That's a great worker placement intro game, and it's really fun, and it still plays well. Yeah, after you've learned and played other games. So Stone Age is really good at 72. 71, Game of Thrones board game. I've played this out. I've played it a bunch, and it's just too long. I don't know, maybe this is my next strike on the list. Yeah, maybe it is. It's just not my style. It's just, this is a dudes on the map game, which I guess isn't really even that many dudes, but that's just not my thing. Just that playing other people can be fun, but it can be too frustrated when it's all or nothing kind of diplomacy style. But it's neat. The Game of Thrones theme is cool. I read all the books. I haven't really followed the shows. So I really like that, but it's just not enough to draw me into the game. It's too long. I'd rather play so many other games at this time frame. And I think in that time frame, I've started to push towards the Euros in wanting to play like really long Euros in that time frame rather than wanting to play really long games like this. I still would play Eclipse. I still would play Twilight Imperium 3 in that range. And yeah, some others are probably going to be up the list. So we'll talk through those. Kemet. It's Kemet. I want to get it back to the table. No. I want to play Kemet again. I don't want to say that wrong, but... sorry. Kemet, Dudes on the Map, game 70. Yeah, I definitely play this before Game of Thrones. This game doesn't even run that long. I don't think this is a, like, dying to get back to the table. The one I am dying to get back to the table that I'm going to write down, I don't know if it's on the list, is Cyclades, though, because I really want to see between those two. I think I was more of a Cyclades person. I'm not against Dudes on the Map and all that stuff. I like that. I don't know why. That's why I want to play Cyclades again and see. But Kemet's really fun. It's a cool game. Lots of cool elements to that game, and yeah. Arcadia Quest, number 69. Really like Arcadia Quest. Want to get the new stuff out. In fact, that's another Zephra game, Arcadia Quest, that I want to play. It feels like the campaign is just a little bit more exciting than a one-off, so that's what's tricky with this game. So I did play a whole campaign with my wife, and that was really exciting, but now I want to try one with my daughter or with other people if they want to play. This would actually work on a Thursday night. So if you come to the portal Thursdays and you're listening, we could try that out. I'm going to try these little... I'm going to try to get rid of all these little extra side thought bubbles I'm doing. So we'll go from there. 68, Resistance Avalon. That's the best version. Just play Avalon. I guess there's those cards in the other Resistance that are fun, but I really like Avalon with Merlin. It's really fun to do that. It's a great game. I think that's my favorite social deduction game. I guess I like Battlestar Galactica better. I don't even care about the long time frame. Again, the long time frame is good. I like long games. I don't understand why people don't like long games. I guess it could be frustrating. And I understand that a lot of people wouldn't want to sit there that long, I guess. But I'd rather play Battlestar Galactica than Resistance. But Resistance plays 10, and you can move on to another game, so definitely works better. But I'm gaining appreciation for Resistance. It's just really fun. It's great. War of the Ring First Edition, I call shenanigans because I'm sure Second Edition is up above. War of the Ring is phenomenal. It's a great game. Probably a top 10 game for me. But again, 2 players, 4 hours. You know, it's not coming out on any specific night, so you need to find a night. Would I rather play Rebellion than War of the Ring? They're so different. I know people would look at them and just say, thematic 2-player games are so different. I just want to alternate. I want to play, if somebody says, yeah, I want to play both of those, I want to play Rebellion, then play War of the Ring, then play Rebellion, then play War of the Ring, and I'd get 2 different feels. War of the Ring is probably a better game. But Rebellion's better because it's Star Wars. Let's go with that. Cool. Castles of Mad King Ludwig, number 66. Nope, I want to play Suburbia. It's better. I don't like the auction in Castles of Mad King Ludwig. It's way too much AP, chaos, etc. So, yeah. I don't need to play Castles of Mad King Ludwig again. I will, though, if people want to play it. I'm not against it. But not a strike for me, but yeah. Crokinole, I just talked about that. It's definitely becoming a craze, and I want to jump in on the Crokinole craze. So this is that flicking game. Descent, I'm done with Descent. I have Gloomhaven. Move on. I guess that's a strike. There you go. I don't dislike Descent, though, and I'm sure there's elements people could tell me to do. Twa is awesome. It's really, really good. I know somebody brings Twa every week. So yes, I want to play Twa again. So let's do it. That's coming in at number 63. Pandemic is number 62. And I gained so much respect for Pandemic. Oh, this must be sliding like crazy since Legacy came out, huh? I bet Legacy's number one. I haven't looked today, but there's where that is. But yeah, Pandemic is, such a great game. So fun to play. And I don't think Legacy is better. I think it's better if you have a group that wants to play it. For sure, but Pandemic is still really good and really fun, and there's so many expansions you could throw in to change it up when you want. So that's 62. 61 is Santorini. Haven't played it. Heard how great it is. I don't know how to get my hands on a copy, so I won't be playing that for a while. Number 60 is Tigris and Euphrates. I played this way back in the day. It's been out for a while, and I played it a bunch back in the day, and it's really fun, and it works really well with 2, 3, and 4, as far as I can remember. I don't remember if it plays 5. But yeah, I'm going to play this again soon because we just had fun playing Ra and Amun-Re. So I want to go back to this one as well, Tigris and Euphrates. That is a Reiner Knizia game. And it's probably sliding down the list. I'm guessing this one was up there, but I could see this one still having a stay because I don't know that there's things like it. It has that classic Reiner Knizia scoring, which is the lowest of your categories is your points, which is always fun. Okay, 59 is going to be another write it down. I want to play it again. Trajan. I really like Trajan. It fights in my mind for favorite Stefan Feld with Castles of Burgundy, which is probably up above. I'm going really slow. This has been like 15 minutes and I'm through like 25 games. So Trajan's really good. There's a thing where you can, like, I don't know if you can break the game, but you can just like score a whole bunch of points doing one mechanism and it doesn't make sense. So just don't do it and you can still have a lot of fun. Russian Railroads is number 58. So Russian Railroads is... a worker placement game. The expansion for that, I really want to try. German Railroads can change it up, but Russian Railroads is really fun, but it can have like a runaway leader if somebody gets it. Mombasa is one of my... Oh, man, is that a top 10 game? It's top 25 for sure. and it's bordering top 10. It's my favorite Alexander Pfister, which I ooze about all the time, how much I like Alexander Pfister. Yeah, it's really good. It's a really, really good game. Probably going to be long the first time you play it and then shorten up. And, you know, it runs in that 2-hour time frame, but totally worth the 2 hours. That's a great 2 hours. For Mombasa. So check it out. Yeah, I'm not going to talk more about it. 56 is Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. I played it by myself, and I did horribly. So I guess I got to try it with a little bit bigger group. We talked about Watson and Holmes recently. It might have been the last episode. And, yeah, that was this game, but actually competitive. I think I'd rather play it cooperative, which is Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. So I got to try that with people. Dominion is number 55. Classic. I remember getting this for Christmas and playing it Christmas Day. There's, like, pictures of my wife and I playing it on the floor immediately after. And it's a really, really good game, but I think I'm done with it because I'll play Clank and other deck builders before I'll play this. So there's that. Fields of Arl, 54. Yeah, this is neat. Again, a two-player Uwe. I know a lot of people like this solo. What is unique in this game? I don't know. It's just like everything in the kitchen sink. It's all the Uwes. I know, what's the new one? Feast for Odin is that one. I played this one over Feast for Odin. Of course, you want to play with three or four, but I'd rather play Fields of Arl over that. Yeah, it's good. I mean, all the Uwes are good. They're all really good, so I'd gladly play it. But again, if I have two, are there other games I might play instead? Probably. Battlestar Galactica. I still really like this game. I'll still sit down and play this game. I love Battlestar Galactica. I have all the expansions, and I have never even played with any of them. I am super happy to play the base game. It's just a matter of finding the 3 hours and the, you know, six people that want to play the game. But I'm in. I love Battlestar Galactica. It's so good. That's great. And it's great in terms of, like, you don't have to figure out who the Cylon is. And you don't have to be bad as the Cylon. Eventually you have to. You could just let the game beat people. And then you can reveal. And so it's good on that front. It's not overly wrought on these hidden traitor mechanics. Star Wars X-Wings Miniature. Lifestyle game. I've played it. I bought Armada. Oh, Gary, I owe you money for Armada. Darn it. So I bought Armada. And I think I'd rather try that now, the next wing, but that's really good. Dominion Intrigue, whatever. It's Dominion. That is 51. 50 is El Grande. Okay, there's my next kind of strike. So I'm not good at area control, and this is like the granddaddy of area control, and I just got really frustrated last time I played. So probably not going to be playing El Grande and getting upset with people. Nope, not with people, with things in the game. But I tried again because I think I figured out some things in the last game that were, you know, not what I wanted them to be. And you just sometimes have to attack whoever and do the best you can for you and not always go after the leader and whatnot. So, but not my favorite. It's just a mind game and the way I don't want to play a mind game. So, yeah, I don't know if that's like three strikes on this list. 49 is Roll for the Galaxy. Really good. I think Race for the Galaxy is better, but Roll for the Galaxy is easier to play, faster to play. Again, that doesn't make it better, but I understand the benefit there. It seems to have a more wide appeal when I play with people. They don't like Race as much as Roll. I think I like Race better, but Race I can see just a few up on the list. So, yeah, Roll for the Galaxy is awesome. Plays five people. That's a perfect Thursday night game. I wish I could bring a stat. I wish I was just in the summer, I'm just going to fill my car with all these games and just be like, what do you want to play? Let's play that. I have it in my car. Cause it's super good. And that should come out a bunch. Five Tribes is also good. I always call it my highest AP game because I just feel like I go so slow in this game because there's so many iterations to look at. But that is fun to try to figure out. I haven't played Five Tribes in a little while. And people really swear by the two-player, which I never did. But looking at this list, there's no way I'm going to get another two-player out right now. So, but Five Tribes is great. It's really, really good. It totally deserves this spot. This is where it should be. Top 50 game. Lords of Waterdeep, 47. Lords of Waterdeep. Worker placement. Nope, I'd rather play other things. That expansion is good. It changes it up a little bit. I feel like it's too straightforward for me at this point. There's just other worker placements. Would I rather play Stone Age? Yes. Yep, I'd rather play Stone Age. So that's where that one falls. So again, I'm not against playing this game. I love seeing people learning this game for the first time. They're super excited. So I like it in that sense. But for me, not so much. Race for the Galaxy. Yep, here it is. Three slots better than Roll for the Galaxy, just like I would say. Just that hand management element is better. So there's that, Race for the Galaxy. I know the app just came out too, which is probably going to get this one back into popularity, which is good. Because it is better. It's better. Dominant Species is number 45. Okay, this is Area Control I need to try again. Because this game is epic. This game, I know heavy gamers swear by it. Should I write it down? As I want to play. Yep, Dominant Species is going down. So that's the game I want to play again. Real cutthroat, really mean, but I think I'm getting more used to that. So I want to try that. Patchwork, boom, there you go. All the way back to two players, whenever I was talking about two-player games. I can't remember, long time ago. This is a better two-player game. Patchwork is really, really good, and it's really fun to play, and I played with my daughter, and she crushed me. Feast for Odin. Yeah, I've played it out. There's too many things, and it's neat. I understand why people like it, but I'd rather play Fields of Arl, even solo. And is it a strike? I guess it's a strike. Strike Feast for Odin. It's just too long with people. I don't want to sit there for that long. I know other people played it. They played a three-hour game. They played a three-player game. It was like under 2 hours, and they tell me that happens all the time, but mine was like over three, and whew, done with that. Twilight Imperium. All right. Gary's begging us all to play this again. I really want to play Twilight Imperium. I just think it needs a scheduled day, and I really don't want to play with new people. I'm okay. I'd actually play with new people. I don't want to be that negative. But I actually want to play it with five or more. With four, I don't like when you take the two actions. I feel like this makes the game too long. But it's great. Like, it keeps moving. It's just a long game. It's not a slow game. It's just a long game. And it's really good. It's top 10, but it's hard to get to the table, so it's a weird game to put in your top 10. Like, my number one game, and I never play it. But it's really good. I think people underestimate it as Ameritrash. There's a lot of strategy covered up by a lot of Ameritrash and dice rolling. And it reminds me of Axis and Allies. Axis and Allies is a totally strategic game with a ton of random elements with dice rolling, and that's how this game is. It's a multiplayer Axis and Allies. And I think that if you're a Eurogamer and you haven't tried one of these and you're willing to sit for 6 to 10 hours, or have the day, I should say, to do it, you should try it. I think you'd really like it a lot more than you think you would. The tech tree is confusing, and hopefully the person you're playing with will have copies for you so you can see that and go from there. 41 is Dead of Winter. I'd love to play Dead of Winter again. It's never worked out well for me, but I'll play it again. It was a neat game. I'm going to try to go fast. Okay, Eldritch Horror. Eldritch Horror is not my cup of tea. It's too much, like, single dice rolling. And that story, it's too drawn out. I know it's supposed to be shorter than Arkham Horror, but it still just ends up being a little too long for me. So that might be my fourth strike on the list. I'm not sure that I would jump into a game of Eldritch Horror. I like what it's doing. I like the idea. I think, you know what? I don't like the theme. I'm not a Cthulhu theme person. It just doesn't do anything. So maybe if somebody makes Eldritch Horror, but it's Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, and you're doing these same things in that universe, I might like that better. It might be a theme problem with me here. And I'm not anti the theme. I'm not against that. I mean, I'm not for Cthulhu. Please don't come take over. yeah, there's that. Kalis is so good. Kalis is... yeah, top 25 game. That is number 39. And if you haven't played Kalis, you need to play Kalis. It is on the shelf at the store. If you are local to there, I have a copy. You need to play Kalis. It's really, 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 really good. If you're listening from far away, acquire a copy. Hit me up on Twitter, and I'll teach you how to play Kalis, because it's really, really good. And it can be a little mean, but it's fun. Voyages of Marco Polo. I really like this game. A lot of people I played with didn't like it as much, but I think it's really fun. I would play that again, but I'm not dying to play it again at 38. But that's really neat, and those character powers are really cool. Everybody gets a really powerful ability. Like, oh, this is game-breaking. That's really fun. Seven Wonders at 37. Yeah, it's not Sushi Go, which is a light drafting game. This is heavier drafting. Where am I at with Seven Wonders? I don't think there's anything else heavier drafting that I'd play instead. So it just doesn't come out a lot, but it should. So I should try Seven Wonders again. It's really fun. It's a good game. We'll leave it there. Keyflower. Keyflower, people are crazy for this game. I like it. It might be a top 50 for me, but I don't think so. But it's neat, and I'm glad it plays well with two. I think it's too long with six. It's definitely unique, though. So here we go. So uniqueness is that you are bidding with workers of colors, Or you can just use the action spaces, and that's just a whole crazy system that's really neat. So it's definitely innovative. So I give it credit for that. Concordia is another top 25 game. It's really, really, really good. I know they're making a new reprint. We don't know when it is, but it's very soon, apparently this year. And it's a great game, and I want to play that game again because it's really good. Viticulture Essential Edition. Okay, Viticulture is really good. This shouldn't be Essential Edition. It should be Tuscany because that's what the essential thing you need is to play it. 33 is Time Stories. Love it in the middle of playing it. Just so hard to get a group together to keep playing this game. But Time Stories is super good. Top 25 game. Somebody's going to actually mark down all these things I'm saying and figure out I have 36 top 25 games. But yeah, that's super good. Codenames. We talked about this last week. Games that just keep coming back to the table, and that's what makes them highly rated, and Codenames is just that game. It's the game that comes back to the table all the time. 31, Zulkin Mayan Calendar. I don't know if this is getting boring. I might be getting boring. Oh well, we'll keep going. You know what I'll do? I'm going to stop at 26, and Brian and I are going to do the top 25 together. Oh, I hope they don't change. Whatever. That's what I'll do. I'll stop at 26, and we'll do the top 25 games together. Because I think this might be getting a little long. So yeah, next episode. Wow, to be continued. 31 is Zulkin the Mayan Calendar. Yeah, this isn't my favorite, and people really like it. I get stressed out by putting those workers and trying to figure that all out, and that timing, I don't know, it's kind of an area control thing that I guess I can struggle with. Well, there's parts of area control I really like, but it's just not my favorite of the worker placement, and it is for some people, but again, innovative, so good. This one, Zulkin and Keyflower. Keyflower's better to me than Zulkin. I totally innovative. I get why people like it. Lahav. Yes, this is the Yokohama people should play. I love Yokohama. That was a fun game. But Lahav is so much better. It's so much easier than it looks. And it's so, so good. I really, really like Lahav. Top 25. Super fun. Brash, Lancashire. I did not back the Kickstarter. I'm so sad. Hopefully it will come to our store and I can get it through the store because that new version is beautiful and this is the best of those route building heavy Euros to me. It's wonderful. And now they have a two-player map and you can play two-player, which is wonderful. Great game. Orleans. I could take or leave Orleans, but it's one of my wife's favorite games, so I play it a whole bunch. And it's fun. It's fun to build an engine. I just do a different thing the next time, and I don't have a problem with that if I lose because I didn't do the optimal thing, whatever. I got over that a long time ago. So Orleans is neat, and the expansions just keep adding, which is great. They're just going to keep expanding this game, which is awesome because that's what it needs, just more content so you can keep changing up how you play. And that's a deck builder. It's a bag builder, but it's a deck builder, so it's really neat. Android Netrunner. I guess that gets a strike. I'm out. I'm not going to play Android Netrunner. I have a friend who is a computer programmer who I've played this game with a few times, who really likes it because of that computer element, so the theme is really interesting to them. So I would play it with that person because I have a copy of the base, and that's how I'll play that. And, hey, look what we're going to end on here. Food Chain Magnate. I just played this on Thursday night. I didn't mention that in my recent plays. So Food Chain Magnate is really neat. The system, how you are running all the cards and building your engine is awesome. The way you're collecting resources and paying them out is awesome, and the only problem with the game is it is just vicious. It is so punishing. If you don't exactly have the right numbers calculated against the right person at the right timing, including possibly just going first or playing a waitress card or three waitress, whatever it is, it's my frustration at the end of the night, you just get punished. And so it just massively can have a runaway leader on that front. When we played Thursday night, we were happy to pick it up as soon as we saw Brian, in this case, was going to run away with the game. And we were happy to pick it up at that point. But this game is like all the bones of a game that's super fun, engine builder, all that stuff. But because of that just like disappointment and, oh, my plan didn't work out, or it kind of worked out, but it needed to really work out, that's where this game is hard. This game just requires everybody has played it three times in the last 2 months or 3 months, and now you're playing it and everybody's on that competitive level. And it's my own fault for screwing up. But when you screw up, it hurts so bad. And I don't know where I'm at with these games. The 18XX could be a little bit like this, not quite as punishing because you still get to run things and you're getting money, just not as much as other people. So yeah, that's where this game becomes tough. Like, am I going to play this 3 times in 2 months and then have a group of people that have played it that many times? But if you do, more power to you. I think heavy gamers unite here because they're always playing heavy games, so they're more likely to play with people that are always playing this game, And so, you know, for them it might be, oh, you know, they have people that played this game 3 times in the last 6 months and now they're playing, but they at least have the idea. So I think that would work there. I don't know that I'm going to have that with just the plethora of games that I play. But it is really good. It's a well-designed game, and you just have to know that going in. Similar to a crazy Ameritrash game where you just have to know going in, this is just going to be up and down and wild, and you're just enjoying the ride of that up and down. This is a game where you have to enjoy the idea that you could just be completely shut down. And if that's okay with you, then that's how it goes. So there you go. I did 100 through 26. Hopefully, Brian and I will jump on and do 25 through 1. If not, I'll do it in my next one, and I'll try to go in-depth more on some of the games here, because that seems like a good stopping point, because I've droned on for a while now. Yeah, but there's my run-through. So I think I had 4, maybe 5 strikes in the top, and 3 games I hadn't played. So there's my Omnigamer-ness. I don't know how many people have played all these. Let me know what some of your favorites are in those top games. And what you like, and yeah, if there's anything you're interested in playing, maybe at Dice Tower Con and PAX Unplugged. I don't know about PAX Unplugged, definitely, but I'm trying to go to those. So if you're going to be at those conventions, definitely let me know, and I will gladly teach any of these games. I'll even teach the strike games to you, and then walk away to play something else. most likely, because I want to play games that I'll have fun with, which is like 90% of games I enjoy. I'm one of those crazy people that just likes everything. So there's that. Yeah, there you go. I am the Brant, and this has been episode 52 of the Portal Gaming Podcast, Attack of the Clones. And see, a bad ending as well. Didn't end up going through all the games, so I played along with the Attack of the Clones thing there. So anyway, until next time, I hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on June 10, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And as always, thanks for listening.